Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankees Show. It is Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. Series victory last night over the Pirates. Max Fried returned. We'll touch on all of that. We're really going to hit on today George Lombard Jr. Now, nothing's official, but it's going to come soon. I am going to just put my gut feeling out there, my thoughts. Here in the open, but we'll break it down more. George Lombard Jr., I think, is the Yankees' October shortstop. I think he's their August shortstop. I think he might be their July shortstop. He's coming very soon. Very soon. And I'm quite geared up about it. We're going to talk about that. We'll do some trade deadline stuff at the end. We heard some more rumors. Nothing crazy. We'll also touch on something from the Mason Miller front that I heard. Bottom line is we got a lot to break down today. Click like on the stream if you have not already. But yes, we'll touch on the victory in a moment, but off day today, 10-game road trip begins against the Phillies, White Sox, and then Cubs. That'll get going on Friday. Let's get into it, though. I want to talk about George Lombard Jr. We're going to kick it off with a soundbite from last night at AAA where he put up a three-hit game, played some great defense, and overall just continued what has been a great 2 months of play that is very much putting him on the map for a call-up very soon.
Another 3-2 line drive, base hit. Down to the grass in left center field. Sliding attempt. Lombard Jr. is going to try to stretch this to two. Dive in head first.
Here's the 2-2. Lombard Jr. lines this into left field. Racing over Morabito, but it drops on the warning track. George hustling for two and a stand-up double. His second two-bagger of the game.
1-2 crack bat flare. Lombard Jr. will lay out and make the catch.
Now, if you look at the overall stats since... in general, by the way, the OPS at AAA, which we know we got off to a pretty bad start there, the OPS is up to an 832 on the season at AAA. Now, you go back since May 17th, Lombard is hitting 331 with 15 doubles, 5 homers, a 999 OPS since May 17th at AAA. And, you know, obviously early on he was struggling and, you know, people were focusing on that, like, oh, Lombard's not performing at AAA. Well, with him, you really got to keep in mind that similar to Aaron Judge and many of the prospects, he gets to a level, struggles at first, makes adjustments, and then begins to conquer. That's what happened to AA. Then he got promoted. And this is what happened at AAA, too. He struggled early on. But lately, he's absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. And let's see. What do I want to do here first? Let's discuss a common question, which is Lombard just another Volpe? Now, I think that's fair for Yankee fans to wonder that with any prospect because Volpe was very highly touted. At this point, it's pretty clear Volpe's a bust. You compare the two, and part of this makes me almost a little bit sympathetic towards Volpe because it really is even worse than I remembered where the AAA stats were not great. We're going to compare here between the two of them what they did at AA and AAA in their final year before being called up. Now, obviously with Volpe, he didn't skip AAA, but he didn't really officially conquer it the way Lombard now is starting to. Remember, had that great year in 2021 where he hit like 27 homers, slugged over 600 in the minor leagues. Low A, high A, a little bit of double A. 2022, he rakes in double A, gets promoted to triple A, and was just like, okay, but he certainly had not conquered it. Had a great spring training in 2023, opening day shortstop that year. Well, Lombard has done far better at triple A than Volpe ever did. And in fairness to Volpe, he didn't have much time there because he just was given the job out of that very next spring. But you look at these two comparisons here, and this is with both double A and triple A stats. Lombard's season this year, Volpe's season prior to becoming the everyday shortstop. In 2022, this is what Volpe did between double and triple A. Volpe hit 249, Lombard has hit 281. Volpe, 342 OBP between double and triple A. Lombard, 407. Slugging, 460 for Volpe. Lombard, 502. Overall OPS, 802 OPS compared to Lombard's 909. So just going off of stats here, there's a big difference between what Lombard has done this year and what you assume is his call-up season, or on the verge of being called up, his last lick of the minor leagues, if you will, than what Anthony Volpe did in his year previous to becoming the Yankees' everyday shortstop. Now, stats aren't everything. Volpe had a lot of success in the minor leagues too, but everything we ever heard about this kid was that the intangibles are there. The glove has been MLB ready. And we see that with our own eyes watching in spring training. I mean, whether you look at AAA highlights or just, you know, the times where you do from training or just when they broadcast minor league games, you see how efficient of a shortstop he is. And that's everything that we ever heard from him. Really, when the Yankees drafted him out of high school a couple years ago, was that the glove, the intangibles, the baseball IQ is off the charts. The big question was, will his bat come around? Well, now, again, since May 17th, Lombard's hitting .331. And the OPS on the season at AAA is at .832. We know what he did at AA, but now he's seemingly conquering AAA. The bat is turning the corner. So what box is there really left to be checked? Not many really at all. And we know they're not going to trade him. That's what we can kind of bank on, at least with this deadline, is that Lombard isn't going anywhere. And what's interesting is, and a couple people on Twitter were talking about this, so credit to them. I don't make it seem like this was my entire idea, but wasn't my idea at all. But just want to put this out there, that part of the reason why I think it could be as soon as maybe even this weekend or this month, you look at the next two series. The Yankees are facing four left-handed pitchers in their next two series. And lefties are, that's something the Yankees have really struggled with lately. If they wanted to do this right now, the fact that Lombard has a 1.122 OPS against lefties this year, he has raked against them, and you're facing four lefties over the next two series, we are already at a point where this was kind of on the map as a possibility soon because of what he's been doing. And a three-hit night last night. Remember, he was on the IL for a little bit. First game back, though, he goes deep. He had the great game last night, and Cashman 2 weeks ago said he has made himself a factor come the second half to possibly get called up. Everything we just talked about, the fact that we know this kid is who the Yankees look at as their shortstop of the future. Is he going to be another Volpe? You're well within your rights to, like, you know, kind of be weary about that. I understand. But also, with that logic, then every single prospect we ever have, we should be concerned that they're just going to be another Volpe, which maybe you will operate that way. I don't know. But this kid's coming up soon. That's what my gut tells me. That's what kind of, I don't want to say the tea leaves, because all really the tea leaves are is just that he's performing well. And we know it's shortstop. Let's be honest, like, Cabrera over Volpe is the answer in that very conversation, but neither of them are great. We always joke that, like, Cabrera, while, you know, he's not prime A-Rod, he should be the Yankees starting shortstop. That's always in comparison just to Volpe. When we're talking about the true talent team come October, this 100% has turned to a thing where Lombard, I think, is going to be the guy. Now, obviously, what we talked about before and everybody knows is that he struggles early on at each level and then starts to figure it out. You do want to get him up here sooner rather than later. So that's one thing. You want to make sure he can adjust properly by the time you get to October and he's decent offensively. But also just for the fact of your best shortstop option right now between Volpe, Caballero, and Lombard is seemingly indeed Lombard. Defensively alone, he's probably, not probably, he is better than Caballero, better than Volpe. And offensively, again, what he's been doing for the last couple months of AAA tells you he's ready. He's ready. And you got four lefties coming up over the next two series. Lombard rakes against lefties. I think the time is now. And there's almost a vibe around it. There's a mystique. There's an aura where you can kind of just tell. It's like an internal sense. It's the force, if you will. If I had the force, I would throw that car into Hudson. Thank you. There's a big beep. Where you can just tell, like, it's like when Christmas is near. You can kind of, like, smell when a prospect is coming up soon. And you can just tell there's going to be a notification almost any day now is what I'm saying right here is what I think. We're going to get a notification any day now that Lombard is up. And he will become the Yankees shortstop. My prediction, he will be up at the latest in August. Because if you're not up in August, I mean, then you don't call him up this year because you need him to be ready by October. I think I would put at a 65% chance George Lombard Jr. is called up this month here in July. I would give it a 99.9% chance he is up in August. Bottom line is he's coming up. The new Yankee shortstop is right around the corner. And I'm stoked because everything we hear about this kid is that he's a dog, whether it be the baseball IQ, the fundamentals, just being a ball player, the obvious stuff. Obvious in the sense of it's all we've ever heard, and it's kind of cliche to say, oh, he's a ball player, but you know what I mean. But also, too, you look at him talk, you look at the look in his eyes, and you compare it to guys like, no disrespect, not to bring him up, but it's a very easy comparison here, Volpe, where they kind of have that puppy dog look a little bit, or say the difference between Cam Schlittler and Will Warren. Cam doesn't play scared. Sometimes Will Warren has a little bit of the puppy dog eyes in him. Lombard doesn't have that. You look at his, remember when he got called up to AAA a couple months ago? Just watching him speak, I got stoked because I could just tell, like, this kid is legit. But obviously you need performance, too, to be like, hey, call him up. Now we have that. He's raking at AAA. The glove is ready. The intangibles. Everything is, what else is there left to check? The need is checked. Shortstop, it's not like, you know, there ain't Derek Jeter up here. Caballero hasn't been amazing. Shortstop is a need. And at the very least, defensively, you'll improve. And let's be honest, while I appreciate Javier's at-bats? I mean, just combine the two, Volpe and Javier. I mean, we're talking about OPS in like the mid-600s between both of them. At the floor, Lombard would be able to give you that, and you have a better defender at shortstop anyways. So what are you losing here? The only downside would be if you're worried about possibly rushing Lombard, which I don't think you would be doing, but maybe the Yankees really want to keep that in mind considering that they certainly did rush Volpe. And that's a separate conversation, but I do kind of, again, pulling up this graphic right here, Volpe's like prior season of being called up, 2022, was not that great. His 2021 in like single A and then double A was really good. He slugged over 600, was insane. And not on the graphic here, but I do want to mention Volpe did have 50 stolen bases in this 2022 season between double and triple A. But bottom line is Volpe had not conquered that level of triple A. Lombard seemingly has. Again, this graphic is both double and triple A. But since May 17th, Lombard's hitting 330. Volpe essentially didn't conquer AAA and then skipped it because of the great spring training that he had. Yankees probably don't want to do that again. But they're not doing that again in this case because what has Lombard done? Hit, performed, conquered it. There's no other box left to be checked. Only other box left to be checked is to make sure you don't trade him. Which you guys know, I have put out trades involving Lombard before, probably even just a couple weeks ago. We talked about it with Scooble. I'll eat that 100%, but that's also very much based off of principle, being willing to go all in and trade prospects. With that said, all right, we're not trading Lombard, and I'm glad we haven't. He's your untouchable. Everybody else has to be available, though. That includes LeGrande, that includes Elmer, that includes Dax Kilby, who's another Yankee prospect that scouts really like, particularly his bat. He's probably more of a second baseman long-term because the arm isn't great, but everybody else, Lombard aside, keep Lombard. He's your untouchable. He's my shortstop possibly as soon as this weekend. Everybody else has to be available. But that said, now's the time, and I think it's going to be coming very, very soon. So be excited about that. This is real. This is real. If you want to take my word for it, I wouldn't say this unless, you know, I don't want to steer anybody in the wrong direction, but you can be excited about this. This is going to happen soon. Lombard will be up, I think, very shortly. Let's talk a little bit of last night's win, though. Max Fried returns, and how about it? He goes five innings scoreless, and boy, did he look good. The fastball, by the way, I mean, there was really no having to wait for him to look as sharp as he always does. His fastball was up to 97. The command looked fantastic. He looked insanely sharp. He, 57 pitches he throws. And we talked about it yesterday. Like, this was awesome, obviously, by default. But also, keep in mind, he was on a pitch count. And this is essentially him bridging the way to a bullpen game because of the doubleheader. Well, you figured he'd probably only go four. He ends up going five. And with that, Yanks, now you can look at it as a tangible thing and really sort of dream about the postseason rotation that we always talk about. You saw Cole pitch yesterday. Cole looked terrific. I know the Yankees lost game one. That was a very frustrating loss, but you pair the two together, then obviously with Cam and then Rodon. We talk about this a lot, I know, but it's the general theme of this season and why we have hope for October is they are going to be very hard to beat with Cole, with Fried, with Cam, with Rodon as your fourth starter. Now that you actually see it and you see them pitch in yesterday's case in the exact same day, but both of them look sharp, both of them are healthy, it's kind of like, all right, here we go. That enforces even more the need for a big deadline. That enforces even more the need to get Lombard up here and create the best team possible, because at the very least, the floor of this team is you have a chance because of this starting rotation. Here's Fried after last night, the decision going into returning, and just overall like how he felt going into it.
I walked in and just kind of jokingly said, like, are you guys figuring out who's, you know, who's pitching the doubleheader tomorrow, thinking they were going to choose which game it was going to be between Will and Garrett? And then they kind of looked at me like, would you be on? I was like, oh, wait, we're serious? I was like, yeah, like, I mean, I'm going to be pitching anyway. So I was, as soon as they said that, I said, yeah, you guys make the decision, but if you want me to pitch, I'm ready.
I'm a big fan of Max Fried. Big fan of Max Fried. Very representable Yankee. And this dude, listen, a common question with him will be the postseason somewhat bad track record that he's had. Now, I think last year was a perfect example for us what he's been in the postseason throughout his entire career. There's been good, there's been bad. Last year, imploded against Toronto. And I'll bring that up a lot because it's like people blame Boone for some things that are correct and some things that aren't. But like in the end, a lot of Yankee players just didn't perform last year. Max Fried can't give up seven runs against a division rival in the American League Division Series. He did do that, and that was unfortunate. That was bad. However, he also pitched a damn good game against Boston in the series opener, the wild card series. Look at his entire career. Yeah, the playoff numbers aren't great, but he also clinched game six of the World Series for the Atlanta Braves. So, I mean, I don't look at it as a thing where Max Fried is a sufferer of the yips by any means. And that's what would concern me going into October, would be like, Max Fried can't handle the postseason. Like, that's certainly not what it is at all. You can't clinch game six of the World Series and have the yips, as far as I'm concerned. Pitching game one of the wildcard series as well as he did, you can't have the yips and succeed there, as far as I'm concerned. What is interesting is probably the way his stuff plays compared to a guy like Cam or Cole, where it's very different. You know, he's more of a, I don't say finesse, but like, you know, lefties, more of a crafty pitcher that if Fried's stuff isn't great on a given day, location, whatever it may be, and I think Toronto may have had a lot of tips on us last year, but if things aren't going well for Fried, the bad could probably get pretty bad. Whereas, you know, if Cam doesn't have it, if Cole doesn't have it, especially Cam, when you're throwing like 100 miles an hour, you can still just work your way through a start by blowing pitches by guys, and like maybe you give up three runs, but you can still probably go five or so innings. And Fried's capable of doing that too, in a different way though. So it must be more of a thing where, at least maybe come the postseason, Fried, when he's not completely dialed, is easier to hit. I don't know the answer, but that's something people often bring up, is like, Fried's not a good postseason pitcher. Well, he's had success, and he's also had a lack of success. We obviously need him to be good this year, and I anticipate that he will, because he's one of the best pitchers in the game. But I don't worry about it, because it's not a yips thing, you know? It's not a thing where, like, I think with Judge for a while, and maybe it still would be this way, but I think Judge does, like, tense up a little bit in big moments. I don't see that with Fried. He just hasn't pitched well at times in October. With us, we saw one start was great, one start he wasn't. But bottom line is, like, getting him back, obviously, and looking ahead to our October rotation, like, that's what the season is all about. That's where the optimism comes from, besides the fact that it's baseball and you should always assume your team has a chance if they're in it, which is true, because that's how the sport works. Our postseason rotation, at some point soon, we'll really start to lay down the order of this. I think I would probably start Cam game one still, but Cole has looked so good lately, so good. I mean, yesterday he looked fantastic. And the fastball with Cole, and this makes sense because it's post-TJ, but like it looks better than pre-TJ. Like this version of Gerrit Cole, especially by now, we're really starting to see it all come together. It looks way better than he looked in 2024, and he was good in 2024. Maybe you still start Cole game one. At the very least, you know Rodon would be your fourth starter. And you only need four starters in the playoffs, obviously, for those who don't know. Whether it's Cam or Cole in game one of those two I think would go in the series opener. I think they'd probably lean Cole, just because of pedigree. Cole, Fried, Cam is your game three starter. Imagine that. Carlos Rodon is your four. Righty, lefty, righty, lefty. I think that's, at the very least, what they will do. Knock on wood, everybody stays healthy. Because if they are healthy, again, that's what this is all about. That's why you go all in on the trade deadline. That's why you get lumbered up here. Everything we were just talking about, like this season, you figure out all the holes and get everything, all the other boxes checked, because the floor of this team is the best, one of the best besides maybe the Dodgers. At the very least, the Dodgers aren't better than our postseason rotation. The floor of this team is one of, if not the best, postseason starting staff in baseball. And the bullpen's been pretty damn good too. Yesterday as well. And I want to talk about Angel Trevihi really quick. He's got a 0.79 ERA this year in 11 and a third innings pitch. Another scoreless outing for him yesterday. Paul Blackburn, two scoreless innings. And that was big time. He had a runner on third with just one out. Gets two strikeouts back to back. His ERA sits at an even two this season. Will Warren came in for the save. That was interesting. Didn't work out. Tim Hill had to come in and finish the job. But very interesting that they were willing to do that. I'm sure we'll see the same thing happen with Ryan Weathers at some point soon too. And we almost did a few weeks ago, but we know come October that Warren and Weathers are going to be in the bullpen. So we'll start to see, particularly as the season goes on, like into August and especially September, those guys get a lot of work and maybe start to transition into the bullpen, as well as when we get Clark Schmidt back, same for him as well. This wasn't a transition thing for Warren. It was just, you know, doubleheader, was going to pitch today, then Fried came back, so they had him go. And Warren was technically on a throw day. He's going to go game one of the Phillies series on Friday. But I wouldn't judge Will Warren's ability to be a successful reliever come October based off of one little outing right there. I do worry about Warren's, not mental, that sounds rude, but more so it's like you can see it, you can just tell in a player's eyes sometimes. Again, the difference between you look at Volpe in a big spot versus you look at somebody like Lombard in a big spot, or look at Cam and Cole versus a guy like Warner. Like sometimes they have that scared puppy dog look, and I do see that in Warren's eyes a lot. Ben Rice, 30th home run of the year yesterday. That, of course, was in game one. This home run, I tweeted it out, just felt inevitable the whole time. I mean, he kind of just felt like he was going to take care of business here, and he did. I know the Yanks go on to lose, which was such a frustrating game. But do want to celebrate this a little bit because 30th home run of the season. Fastest Yankee to get there at this point in the season besides Judge since A-Rod. OPS now at a 956. The MVP race, probably looking at Yordan Alvarez still, but Ben Rice is still very much in the mix. I mean, 30 homers and 71 RBIs in however many games now. I mean, he's on pace for, we're looking at, obviously, a season over 40 home runs. He's going to have over 100 RBIs. He may, I won't predict 50, because that's a lot of home runs still between now and the end of the season. Very much possible, but like, I think Rice obviously will finish with 45-plus homers, and he might be looking at around 120 RBIs for a homegrown first baseman. We got to celebrate the W's that the Yankees do have, whether it be, hey, they created a bullpen this year. They did it again. Got to make sure you go out and get relievers. Or, you know, the development of certain guys. Like Cam Stiller is a massive success for this farm system, obviously. Ben Rice is at the forefront of that. I mean, he was an undrafted prospect, unranked, and, or I should say, I don't think he was undrafted. He was unranked prospect. And really was not on anybody's radar except the Yankees, and they just developed him. All he did was hit. They gave him a chance, and here you are. He's one of the best hitting, I was going to say best hitting first baseman in baseball, but you can say best hitters in baseball, period. And they developed him. He now has 30 home runs on July 23rd. Pretty awesome. Pretty freaking awesome. Any other notes from yesterday's game? Nah, not so much. So off day today, Yanks have taken 2 out of 3 against the Pirates, and they're 2.5 back entering the entering today. And 2.5 back behind the Rays for first place in the AL East. Boston did snap their winning streak yesterday in a doubleheader, the game two of the doubleheaders. They won now 15 in a row, and then that was snapped. So they're, I think, 7 back of first. We'll keep our eye on them, but for now, I'm just worried about the Rays. Anyways, some deadline talk. Ken Rosenthal said yesterday that Ryan Jeffers does remain the Yankees' most obvious trade target. And that's no surprise. I mean, listen, I like Ryan Jeffers a lot. I don't want to get twisted that even though I'm now all in on Shea Langeliers, which I still am, for a long time, rightfully so, I've been all in on the Jeffers train because he can really, really hit. We're talking a guy with an over 900 OPS this year. Limited time because he had the hamate injury, but he's back. He's hitting again still, so it's like not a thing where post-hamate he's been terrible. No, he's been still pretty damn good. He's one of the best hitting catchers in baseball over the last few years anyways. So with Ryan Jeffers, the offense is legit. Now, Austin Wells has actually looked a little bit better at the plate lately. He's going to be the Yankees' backup catcher come October. He's going to be the second catcher, and that's just fine. And long-term, we'll see what the deal is. I'm not giving up on Wells long-term at all, especially if, you know, if it is Ryan Jeffers, he's just a rental that you get. Well, you're going into next year with Austin Wells as your catcher, and then you'll see how that goes, and then probably, obviously, we got to see if there's baseball, but then if that doesn't work out, come entering 2028 after next year, William Contreras is a free agent. Maybe they could sign him. But if Ryan Jeffers is the plan, I am totally cool with that. The rest of the deadline remains to be seen, obviously. But we will love Ryan Jeffers. I want Shea Langeliers first and foremost if he is indeed available. And it still sounds like apparently like that very much could happen, that he gets traded somewhere. Hopefully it'd be the Yankees. But if it's not him and it's Ryan Jeffers, like make no mistake, I am all on board still with the idea of getting him from the Twins. And the Twins are starting to fall out of it again, which is nice. Some other things from not playing the source game here, but with the Padres and Mason Miller, apparently they don't like love our farm system all that much. They like Will Warren from what I'm hearing. They like Will Warren, but they probably wouldn't want anything to do with Jason. LeGrande concerns about the shoulder. This is from one guy. Doesn't mean it's AJ Preller. And the package for those that are unaware that I would offer for Miller would be LeGrande, Elmer, Jason, Will Warren. Massive package. Pretty much it sounds like they like Will Warren. They don't think much of Jason. Concerned about LeGrand, he being hurt. Elmer, I don't want to take this all, you know, as definitive with the Padres organization as a whole thing, but this is from one person in the organization, apparently. Pretty much, it may have to be Lombard or bust to get Mason Miller. That's at least what I have heard, which is bull. Bull, bull, bull. And it's not going to happen. Obviously, Yankees aren't trading Lombard. We'll see if Miller gets dealt, period. I want him. You give me Mason Miller and Ryan Jeffers, maybe another reliever or, heck, an extra bat on top of that, we're really chilling. Do I think it's going to happen? As of right now, I would lean towards no because of I think you would have to include Lombard from what it sounds like. But we know they're going to get multiple relievers. We'll keep our eyes on the Mason Miller thing. We got another, 10 days here until the trade deadline. So, I mean, things can always be changing. And for all I know, what I heard last night was wrong. But, yes, it might have to be Lombard or bust to get Mason Miller. Let's see, was there anything else from yesterday? We just hear that the Yankees are going to be very aggressive. They're supposed to be, what in the industry, expected to be one of the most aggressive teams this trade deadline. Which makes sense. We'll see what that leads to. But in terms of what we've been talking about here for a while, quantity of players, like we will make trades. This will, I'm sure, be at least, a three-player deadline for the Yankees. They'll acquire three players, if not more. We'll see if we like those players. But remember, in past years, we talk about it a lot, like they've gotten four guys. Last year, they got six guys at the trade deadline. 2022, they got five. I mean, like more often than not, Cashman does acquire a surplus of players. We'll see how it all works out. We'll see if we're actually happy with the deadline. Probably be some hits, might be a miss or two, but you really do got to go all in for everything we always talked about with Judge getting older, baseball possibly not being a thing next year. Everything that is well obvious by now, the American League being weak, whatever you want to say, the pitching rotation being so good that you want to make sure everything else is shored up, that you actually do have a chance to win it all this year. It's a big trade deadline for the Yankees. We know that. We've talked about that a lot. And we'll continue to monitor the situation. I got to get out of here because I got to get back to the baseball today world. But yo, fun show today. Bottom line is, from this whole thing is expect George Lombard Jr. to be called up soon. This isn't me playing a source game or nothing. This is just my opinion, which I think you can trust me on this. You will see George Lombard Jr. very soon, at the very latest in August. I think it might even be this month. But hey, good series victory last night. Good to have Max Fried back. Ben Rice, you're a dog. And a big road trip begins on Friday. We'll cover that more on tomorrow's show. Of course, the Morning Yankees show, we're live Monday through Friday. Click like in the stream if you do not mind. Just help out a great deal. And also available on podcasts and all that. And Phillies for three, White Sox for four, and then Cubs for three. 10-game road trip begins starting Friday night. They're all night games, by the way, against Philly. Friday's on Apple TV. Saturday is a 6 o'clock game, I believe. And then Sunday is and here it is in the bottom. Saturday at 6, and then Sunday's on NBC and Peacock, so another Sunday Night Baseball, which I think is actually going to be a pretty good booth. It'll have Jason Benetti doing play-by-play, and then with Joe Girardi from our side, and they'll have John Kruk on the Phillies side, because they always pull one from each broadcast booth. John Kruk is freaking awesome. So that should be actually a pretty good broadcast booth on Sunday. But nonetheless, that'll do it for this episode. Hope you guys all have a great day, and I'll see you all tomorrow morning. We probably will have a video dropping later today. A Yankees recap discussing a bunch of things. But until next time, I see you guys live. Have a great day. And until then, let's go Yanks.